What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Nightmare in Wisconsin.
The trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Accusations of first-degree intentional homicide, strangulation, mutilation, dismemberment, and necrophilia.
We bring you raw, unfiltered courtroom audio from the trial of Taylor Shabusiness. Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Your Honor, at this point, I would like to have that call used as an exhibit.
Any objection?
Well, I didn't hear what he said.
He wants to offer the recording as an exhibit, and then he wants to play it.
I have no objection.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you are about to hear an audio recording. Recordings are proper evidence, and you may consider them, just as any other evidence. Please listen carefully. Some parts might be hard to understand.
County Public Safety, how may I help you?
Yes, I'd like an officer at 829 Stony Brook. Her friend just woke me up to swear that she found her severed head of her son in the basement.
Okay, can you repeat the address, sir?
829 Stony Brook.
Okay,
S-T-O-N-E-Y? Is it E-Y, right? Yes.
No E.
No E. Just that Y.
Is that a house, apartment, or duplex?
It's a house.
What's your phone number?
My number is 327-3748. My name's Steve.
327-3748?
Yes.
What's your last name, Steve?
Anders.
Okay, tell me what's happening there again.
I have no clue what's happening. My girl swears that she's found her severed head of her son in the basement.
Did you go down there?
In a bucket. I went down. I can't tell what the fuck is. Pardon my language, I'm kind of a little freaked out.
Okay, did she just wake up and say that?
Yeah.
And whose head is it?
She's claiming it's her son.
How old is her son?
24, 20, 25.
Has he been missing, or?
No, yeah, he was here yesterday with some chick, and then now all of a sudden nobody's here. And she came up to use the restroom a couple times, and she keeps calling and calling, and now she's saying that she hears the phone down there, too.
Okay. Is she with you right now?
Yes, she's upstairs. She's a little freaked out, and I don't know what to do.
Okay. All right. Stay on the line. And you said you went down there, correct?
Yeah, and I lifted a towel, but I can't see very well, and I can't tell what the hell it is.
So there's something in the bucket.
There's something in the goddamn bucket there.
Okay.
Hello. If she might look again, I don't know what the hell, man.
Do you think she's hallucinating, or do you think that...
I don't think so. I went down I don't know, man. She's a little freaked out and kind of freaking me out.
What's your girlfriend's last name?
Packenick.
How do you spell that?
Oh, holy shit. You want to spell it?
P-A-K-A-N-I-C-H.
N-I-C-H. What's her first name?
Para. Tara. P-A-R-A.
What's her middle initial date of birth?
What's your middle initial? Hi,
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hey,
yeah, I'm Trevor.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, what's her date of birth?
What's her date of birth? 5/14/74.
All right, can I talk to her?
Yes, you can.
Hello?
Hi, Kara. So, can you tell me what's going on?
Pray, President, my son's head is in a bucket. I know I'm looking for my basement.
What makes you think that?
Because I looked in the bucket.
And what did you see?
Exactly what I told you.
Okay, where's the rest of the body at?
No idea.
Okay. When's the last time you saw your son?
I guess today is Wednesday, so I picked him up from his dad's on Monday. And he doesn't normally stay here. He's been staying here for a few days. Brad left the laundry. He was here a couple hours, then he left with Taylor. And they Taylor.
Who's that?
Girl. Taylor Coronado.
You know how to spell last name?
Coronado. No, not exactly.
Okay.
But the common spelling from around here.
All right. That is
cool. He went to middle school and high school with her.
Okay.
I don't know if he doesn't live with me.
Okay. When's the last time you saw him?
Well, he left with her. They both came back. I believe they both came back while we were sleeping Monday night. And I assume they slept all day yesterday, so I haven't seen him since Monday night physically. I thought they were sleeping all day. I was gone for a little while yesterday, Tuesday. And he's 25, and I'm going to pay attention. What are you doing? You know what I mean?
All right. Well, we've got help.
And then I heard my door and heard minivan start. And I went downstairs and I went to the bathroom. The lights were out in the basement. So I turned them off and I looked around and I was there. So then when I turned around to come back upstairs, there was a 5 gallon bucket with a towel over it. And I'm like, oh, great. That's why they're not here all day yesterday. They're pissing in a bucket. And I looked and that is not what was in that bucket.
What is your son's name?
Chad Therian.
C-H-A-D.
S-H-A-D.
How do you spell his last name?
T-H-Y-R-I-O-N.
What's his date of birth?
9/7/97.
Is there blood down there?
No.
Okay. All right, ma'am. I have officers that are headed over to your house right now, okay?
Headed over.
Okay, I'll go down there. Yeah.
I guess just stay away from
it.
Just stay away
from that area. We're on the second level, so we're going to go down to the kitchen and not to the basement.
Okay, yeah.
We can answer the door and stuff.
Okay, all right, ma'am.
My 16-year-old daughter is sleeping.
Excuse me?
My 16-year-old daughter is here sleeping.
Okay.
So they do not make a lot of noise. I don't know.
Okay, just let them know that. I'm sure they won't try, okay?
My heart is going to jump out of my chest for being so...
And, I mean, you're sure it could be like a fake head or something?
I'm not touching it. I'm not looking at it again.
Okay. All right, ma'am. Just go ahead and wait for the officers, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Ms. Shannon, the audio recording that was just played, is that consistent with the recording that was retained by the 911 center for the call from the address on Stony Brook Drive on February 23rd of 2022?
Yes.
Your Honor, for the record, I believe that we played the entirety of the audio recording, which is 7 minutes and 13 seconds. I would ask that the recording be admitted as an exhibit.
Any objection, Mr. Fraley?
No.
All right, that exhibit will be received.
I have no further questions for Ms. Shannon.
All right, Mr. Fraley, cross-examination?
Sure. Ms. Shannon, morning.
Good morning.
How is a recording like that kept by the 911 dispatch center?
All calls and radio traffic coming into our center are recorded automatically. We have a recording system. And regardless of how it's coming in, phone or radio, it's recorded. And it stays in that recording. We have it set for 180 days.
Okay. Do you, at least for the recording on, that we just heard, was that then downloaded to a disk or something?
Yes. And then we also keep it on a separate drive to make sure that it doesn't go away, because those do automatically clear after 180 days. So we downloaded it to a disk for as evidence, and then we also keep a recording of it in-house.
So is it your testimony that you preserved that tape from February 23rd of 2022?
Yes.
And then it was, what, was it sent to the Green Bay Police Department, the District Attorney's Office? Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
It was sent to the District Attorney's Office.
Okay. And then they kept it in their custody?
As far as I know.
Okay. But 911 Dispatch Center still has a copy as well?
Yes.
Was there any way that that recording was altered in any way?
No.
Do only certain people have access to it?
Yes.
Who was that?
Myself, and then we have a group of supervisors. They are the people who make the recordings. We have one person who is assigned to do it, but if he's not there, then any of the supervisors can. But they're the only ones that have access to that drive.
That 911 tape that we just heard, it wasn't excised or modified in any way, shape, or form, was it?
No.
And it was downloaded off the mainframe computer at the dispatch center?
The server, yes.
Okay. Off the server?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Oh, one more. This was kept in the regular course of business of the 911 dispatch center?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing further.
Any redirect?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you, ma'am. You're excused.
Thank you.
State's next witness.
The state calls Officer Alex Wanish.
If you just want to step right up over here, and before you have a seat, turn and face her and raise your right hand. She'll place you under oath.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter, now before the court, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
Please have a seat and state your name for the record.
Officer Alex Wanish, W-A-N-I-S-H.
Okay, and then if you could just make sure you stay close to the microphone so we can all hear you, and with that, Mr. Saunders, the witness is yours.
Thank you. Officer, how are you employed?
With the City of Green Bay Police Department as a patrol officer.
And how long have you been employed as a patrol officer with Green Bay PD?
Since April of 2019.
And is that the totality of your law enforcement experience?
I worked about a year and a half prior to that with the City of Manitowoc.
Okay. So about 2017 is Correct. When your law enforcement career started?
Correct.
And can you outline for us what training you received to be a police officer?
I went through the 720 Academy at NWTC. Before that, I went to UW-Platteville for my four-year bachelor degree in criminal justice.
Okay. And what are some of your regular duties as a police officer?
Taking any dispatch call that comes out, traffic, that kind of stuff.
Sort of respond to the initial incidents?
Correct.
And then do you kind of conduct follow-through investigation as well?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Officer, I want to ask you about February 23rd of 2022. Do you recall if you were working in that capacity on that day?
Yes, I was.
Directing your attention to about 3:25 a.m., were you dispatched to a call around that time?
Yes.
To where were you dispatched?
The address was 829 Stony Brook, City of Green Bay, Brown County.
And is that an area of Green Bay that you're familiar with in your regular patrol duties?
Yes, it is. Okay.
And I guess what area of Green Bay is that?
It's the west side, I guess the closest major intersection between Mason and Military.
And what was the reason you were dispatched to that residence?
The initial call came out that the complainant's girlfriend found her son's severed head in a bucket in the basement.
And did you arrive at the Stony Brook Lane residence?
Yes, I did.
But were any other officers with you in that initial time period?
Officer Plonky arrived at the same time as I did.
And what happened when you got to the residence?
We made contact with the complainant and then his girlfriend, and we started talking to them. And then we were directed to the basement where the bucket was located. Officer Plonky remained upstairs just to keep an eye on the rest of the house. I went downstairs. At the bottom of the stairs to the right, there was a green bucket with a shower towel on top of it, just to verify we had an actual head in a bucket. Lifted the towel off, and there was, in fact, a human severed head in the bucket.
So I want to back up just a little bit. When you got to the residence, you said you met with the complainant. Was that Stephen Hendricks?
Correct.
Okay. And then you said his girlfriend was also present?
Yes.
And who is that person?
First name is Tara.
Tara, okay. And Officer Plonky stayed with those individuals?
Correct.
Right? Okay. And then you went down to the basement?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. And you mentioned observing the bucket. I guess where in the basement was that located?
As you go down the stairs, if you turn to the immediate right, it was at the bottom of the stairs to the right.
Was it in pretty close proximity to the stairs?
Yes.
After you made that observation, what did you do?
After I pulled the towel off?
Yes.
I had Officer Plonky come downstairs and just verify we had, in fact, found a human head in the bucket. And then we started to notify a supervisor and then ask for additional units.
At that time, on February 23rd, 2022, did your department utilize body-worn cameras?
Yes.
Is that something that was operating on that day?
Yes.
And did you have the chance to review your body-worn camera prior to your testimony today?
Yes, I did.
If you were able to observe that here in court, would you be able to recognize it?
Yes, I'll be able to.
Okay. Your Honor, I propose to play Exhibit 2. It's approximately 6 minutes.
Any objection?
No objection.
Thanks, Bill.
I am playing Exhibit 2 beginning at 0 seconds. Thank you.
to see it.
Where
is that?
Oh, right there. Look right. There's a button with a tar. I wrote it down there today.
Just keep that. If we could get more units here sooner rather than later, that'd be appreciated. We've got quite a bit of blood down here. I want to clear this rest of this house. We've got two people in the house for sure.
Record the entirety of Exhibit 2, approximately 5 minutes 59 seconds was played. Officer, having reviewed the exhibit, do you recognize the video that was depicted?
Yes, I do.
Does that appear to be consistent with your body-worn camera footage that you observed?
Yes, it is.
And does that appear to also be consistent with your recollection of the scene on Stony Brook Lane on February 23rd?
Correct.
I'd move Exhibit 2.
Any objection?
No objection.
Exhibit 2 will be received.
So, officer, I want to ask a few questions about that. When you arrived, which door to the residence did you enter through?
It would have been the side door off the driveway.
Okay. And was there a sort of a storm door that was a part of that door as well?
Yes, I believe so.
All right. After you observed the bucket, it appeared that you walked around the basement area of the residence. Is that right?
Yes, it did.
At that point, did you see any other parts of a human body?
No other parts of a human body, no.
Okay. Did you notice any areas of potential blood?
Yes.
And where was that?
Beyond the stack of mattresses, there appeared to be blood on the floor and then small chunks of human flesh.
Okay. In other areas of that basement, did you locate any obvious signs of blood?
There was a dried blood stain on the mattresses, and that was all that I remember seeing.
After you and Officer Plonky, was that the officer who is also depicted in that video?
Yes, it is.
Did other officers arrive on scene?
Yes.
And what did you and the other officers do at that point?
Sergeant Brester was next to arrive on scene. I kind of informed him of what we had up to this point and then what we needed to do next. We had two other officers responding. Once we got all the officers there that we needed, we conducted a protective sweep of the residence. Just to make sure there was no other people that we needed to know about, just to make sure that there was no other potential threats.
And you're the first officer to testify, so I'll ask you this because we've heard this term. What is a protective sweep?
It's not a search or anything like that. It's just conducting a sweep of the house just to make sure there's no other people hiding or no other threats.
So essentially a search for people?
Yeah.
Okay. Other than the towel that you lifted off the bucket, was any object moved or rummaged through by officers?
Not the initial responding officers, no.
Okay. And then at some point, do detectives and other personnel arrive on scene?
Yes.
I guess, what do you do after the protective sweep then?
We maintain the scene. Officer Linsmeyer and Officer O'Donnell transported Stephen and Tara to the police department along with their 16-year-old daughter, Ava. Sergeant Brester, Officer Plonky, and I remained on scene just to secure the scene and then wait for additional resources to respond, such as detectives.
What efforts did you undertake as part of your maintaining the scene that you referenced?
Just making sure that no one got in or out of that residence, started a crime scene log just to keep track of who was coming and going as far as officers go, and then we ended up putting up crime scene tape around the house as well.
The crime scene log, is that something that you maintained?
Yeah, until I was relieved by day shift.
And I guess that just tracks who enters and leaves the residence?
Correct.
And there was, I think you mentioned crime scene tape that was affixed as well around the house?
Yes.
Thank you, officer. Nothing further, Your Honor.
Cross-examination.
Officer Wanish, good morning.
Morning.
You were working for the Green Bay Police Department on February 23rd of 2022, correct?
Yes, I was.
And you were on uniform patrol in a fully marked squad, correct?
Yes.
And you were dispatched over to 829 Stony Brook Lane, correct?
Correct.
That area is kind of by Fireman's Park where all the kids go sledding, correct?
Yes.
It's behind it?
It would be to the east of it.
Okay. Who dispatched you over to this location?
It was a dispatch call, and we were the only available units in the city, so Officer Plank and I responded.
Okay. And were you told that there was a suspicious situation over there?
I believe that's how the call was coded.
And the complainant was the male that you heard on there, correct?
Yes.
Did you later find him to be Stephen Hendricks?
Correct.
Who was the first person you talked to when you got to the Stony Brook Lane residence?
Female by the first name of Tara.
Was it Tara Pakinich?
Yes.
And that video, the officer that first entered was Officer Plonky, correct?
That is correct.
And then you followed behind?
Yes.
And the complainant said there was something in a bucket, but he couldn't tell what it was. Is that correct?
That is what he told us.
And you talked to Tara Pakinich, and she said that she thought it was her son's head in a bucket down in the basement?
That's correct.
And then did you ask where the body was?
I don't recall asking that specific question.
But after you did a search, you didn't find a body, did you?
I did not.
Okay. In the basement, you didn't find any people down there, correct?
Correct.
The only people that were at the house was Tara Pakinich, Stephen Hendricks, and Tara's daughter, Ava Wheelock. Is that right?
That's correct.
And this house, is it essentially have like a basement, a floor level, and then an upstairs loft?
Yes, that's accurate.
There's like basically kind of like three floors, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when you arrived, you knocked on the door, that side door that we saw, correct?
Yes.
It's right off the driveway, correct?
Yes.
And this was at nighttime, correct?
Yes, it was.
About 3:25 a.m.?
Correct.
And the people that you had contact with, Tara and Stephen, were they in shock?
Yeah, they both seemed to be in a state of shock.
Had they been sleeping prior to your arrival?
They were both awake and in the kitchen when we made contact.
But before you got there, was it your understanding that they went to bed and then something happened where they woke up and then they called the police?
Yes.
Okay. And did both Mr. Hendricks and Ms. Pakinich attempt to describe to you what they found or what they saw?
Yes.
Did they indicate that Shad Therian would come to the residence on Stony Brook for a few days and then would leave and come back and do laundry and things of that sort?
Yeah, they said that it was not his primary residence.
You're the first one that went down in the basement?
Correct.
And you had a flashlight with you?
Yes, I did.
It's kind of a high-powered flashlight so you can see, right?
Yes.
You went down to take a closer look at the contents of the bucket?
Correct.
And when you got to the bottom of the stairs, was there a laundry room area?
Yes, as you go down the stairs, the laundry room was directly to the left.
And then there was an open room as well?
Yes.
Was the open room to the right?
Yes, it was.
And was that used for storage?
It appeared to be. And then there was a stack of mattresses in the middle of the room as well.
And at some point then you saw the bucket, correct?
Yes.
And was there anything over the bucket?
There was a striped towel.
Okay. And was it over the top of it?
Yeah, it was completely covering the inside of the bucket.
Okay. Was it your discretion or duty to move the towel?
Yes, I had to verify what we had.
Okay. Now, did you have gloves on at all?
Yes, I did.
What kind of gloves?
Just regular patrol gloves.
Okay. When did you put those gloves on, do you know?
Typically, I put them on as soon as I got out of my car to go to any call.
But for this particular night, did you have them on?
Yes, I did.
When did you put them on?
Typically, I put them on right after I get out of my car, because I believe I would have put them on at that point.
Right after you got out of the squad car?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have them on when you went in that side door?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And did you keep them on during the entire time that you were in the Stony Brook Lane house?
Yes.
You removed the towel?
I did remove the towel from the bucket.
And then at some point, did you ask Officer Plunkey to come and take a look as well?
Yes, I did.
At any point in time after you were done looking, did you put the towel back?
Once it was removed from the bucket, it was not placed back on the bucket.
Well, was it just allowed to lay on the floor, or what? Tell me what you know about that.
I believe it was just moved to the side and it was put on the floor next to the bucket.
Do you know if anybody in the house, Mr. Hendricks or Ms. Pakinich, had touched what was in the bucket or moved it in any way?
I believe they both looked at it based on what they were saying to us, as far as Stephen couldn't tell what it was and Tara was positive it was her son's head.
Yeah. You asked for additional units, correct?
Yes, I did.
And you asked for a supervisor?
Yes.
Did they come right away?
Yes.
On the video, we see that you pulled out your service revolver, correct?
That's correct.
Were you doing a protective sweep to make sure nobody was in the residence in the basement?
Yes.
Did you go through the entire house to see if there was anybody else in there?
Eventually, once we had more officers on scene, we cleared the rest of the house.
Okay. Did you see Taylor Shabizis in the house when you were there?
She was not present when I was there.
And when you were looking around in the basement, it's true that you did not observe a body or any other body parts belonging to the severed head, correct?
That is correct.
Tara's daughter was in a bedroom on the ground level, correct?
Yeah, main floor.
And she was sleeping?
Correct.
Did she get up at some point then?
Yes, during our protective sweep, she was woken up.
Okay. And then did you transport Mr. Hendricks, Ms. Pakinich, and Ms. Wheelock to the police department, or did someone else do that?
Officer Linsmar and Officer O'Donnell completed that.
Okay. Did you maintain a crime scene log?
I started the crime scene log until I was relieved.
Okay. And who were you relieved by?
Officer Zawicki.
And then did you secure the crime scene?
Yes, we remained on scene to secure it.
Was that with Officer Plonky?
Yes.
And when you secure the crime scene, how do you do that?
We eventually put up the crime scene tape, but in the meantime, we just maintained the residence, the primary point of entry.
Now, on that video, when you're walking up the driveway, whose vehicles are in that driveway? Do you know?
I don't recall exactly who's the registered owner of those vehicles.
Do you know if the vehicles belong to Ms. Pakinich, Mr. Hendricks?
I don't know for certain, but it's possible.
Okay. Did you confirm if any vehicle belonging to Taylor Shabizis was in that driveway on that particular date when you were there?
I personally did not.
Okay. And was Sergeant Brester on the scene as well?
Yes.
What was his role?
When I requested the supervisor, he was the supervisor that responded.
Okay. And did he come into the residence?
Yes, he did.
Did he go down to the basement to verify anything?
I believe he did, because he assisted with the protective sweep.
Okay. When you were there, did anything happen that would have caused the crime scene to be disturbed in any way?
No.
And did Mr. Hendricks indicate to you that he wasn't able to see what was in the bucket?
Yeah, he did mention something about difficulty with his vision.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Any redirect?
No, Your
Honor. Okay, thank you. You can step down. State's next witness.
City calls Officer Ethan Plonky.
Peer officer, and then before you have a seat, if you can turn and face her and raise your right hand, she'll place you under oath.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the matter now before the court, so help you God? Please have a seat and state your name for the record.
My name is Ethan Plonky, and I work with the Green Bay Police Department.
Okay, Okay, and then, sir, if you could just make sure you stay close to the microphone so we can hear you. You're pretty close right now, so you're probably good. With that, I will. The witness is yours, Mr. Saunders.
How are you employed with the Green Bay Police Department?
I am a patrol officer.
And how long have you been employed as a patrol officer?
Just over 3 years.
Is that the entirety of your law enforcement experience?
Yes.
Okay. And I want to ask you, officer, then, about February 23rd of 2022. Do you recall if you were on duty for your department on that day?
I was.
And do you recall being dispatched to a residence on Stony Brook Lane
that
day? And do you recall approximately what time you were dispatched?
I don't recall the exact time.
Was it like in the morning, the night, in the middle of the day?
Yes, early morning.
Okay. And why were you dispatched to that residence?
For a report of a female who had supposedly observed her son's severed head in a bucket in the basement.
And when you got to that residence, what did you do?
I made contact with the two individuals inside the residence. They were, I believe, a Stephen Hendricks and a Tara Pakinich. And then myself and Officer Wanish were the first to arrive on scene and make contact with them.
And then what did you do after you met with Tara and Steve?
I asked them what had occurred, to which Tara began to tell me her side of the story. While she was telling me her story, Officer Wanish had gone to the basement to look into this bucket that she had found. And that's when he told me that he did find a severed head in the bucket.
Did you then go down to the basement as well?
I did.
And what did you observe when you got to the basement?
I observed a black 5-gallon bucket to the right of the stairs as I go down. There was a beach towel over that now had been moved away, and in that bottom of that bucket was a severed head. And that's where I located.
What did you do at that point?
I then looked around the basement. Myself and Officer Wanish decided that we were going to have to clear the residence for any other threats that were going to be in the house.
And I guess, was anyone else in the house other than the people you talked about earlier?
A teenage daughter, I believe, of the complainant was sleeping upstairs in her bedroom.
And I guess upstairs, what part of the house was that?
Either the first or the second floor. I believe it was the first floor, though.
Okay. Did other officers then arrive on scene?
Yes.
And what did you do at that point?
I stayed with the complainants, Tara and Steven, while the other additional officers cleared the residence.
I guess, what do you mean by cleared, just in everyday jargon?
Oh, sorry. So they would make sure the residents didn't have any other threats, like anybody else that was not supposed to be in the residence were not there. And I just stayed with Tara and Steven to make sure that they were safe while this residence was being checked.
Were they, by they I mean Tara and Steve, were they transported away from the house?
Yes, by additional officers that had arrived on scene.
What did you do at that point?
Well, after they were transported?
Yes.
I just stood by on scene with Officer Wanish and Sergeant Brester until detectives and more officers could arrive to relieve us.
And did you assist Officer Wanish with crime scene tape around the area?
Yes, at the front of the residence before we had left.
And I guess, generally, were you sort of monitoring if people were coming and going in the house?
Yes, made sure nobody else had entered the crime scene.
The people who had entered the house, were they all members or affiliates of law enforcement?
Yes.
Thank you, Officer. I have nothing further.
Cross-examination, Mr. Fraley.
Thank you. Officer Plonky, a couple questions for you. So on Wednesday, February 23rd of 2022, you were working in full uniform patrol, correct?
Correct.
Was this zone 4E2?
That was my call sign.
Okay. Were you dispatched over to 829 Stony Brook Lane in Green Bay?
Correct.
And you received some information over dispatch, right?
Yes.
This residence, was it near like the Fireman's Park area?
Yes.
What report did you receive?
That it was the boyfriend, Stephen, who called, but his girlfriend had woken him up, stating that she had gone into the basement and found her son's severed head in a bucket.
So you went over there to that residence, correct?
Correct.
By yourself in a fully marked squad?
I went over there in my own squad, but Officer Wanish came at the same time as I did.
Okay. And so then you parked on the street?
Yes.
And the two of you officers walked up?
Yes.
And it was dark outside, there was snow on the ground, correct?
Correct.
And who made contact with the residents first?
I believe I interacted with them first.
Okay. You're the one that knocked on the door, correct?
Correct.
And then the door opened and you kind of went inside a bit?
Yep.
Did you see some vehicles in the driveway?
I can't recall vehicles.
Yeah. You don't recall if any vehicles were in the driveway when you walked up?
I don't recall. There might have been.
Okay. Do you know if the vehicles belonged to Tara Pakinich and Stephen Hendricks?
If there were vehicles in there, I didn't run the license plates and didn't ask about who they belonged to.
Okay. And when you got to the door, you had some discussions with Ms. Pakinich and Mr. Hendricks, correct?
Correct.
And then what did you do? Did you go inside?
Correct. I was inside talking to them.
Okay. And then did Officer Wanish follow behind you?
Yes.
So were you on the first floor in the kitchen area where there was a table?
That's where I spoke to Stephen and Tara.
Okay. Try to find out what was going on, correct?
Correct.
And then was there a decision made between the two of you for one to go down and check what was going on in the basement?
Correct. Officer Wanish decided to go down and confirm what they were telling us.
Okay. As far as seniority, who had more seniority, Officer Wanish or yourself?
Officer Wanish has more seniority than I do.
Okay. So he took the bull by the horns and went down in the basement to check it out?
Correct.
And you maintained things upstairs?
Correct.
And then did you stand at the top of the stairs looking down to kind of keep in contact with Officer Wanish?
Correct.
And at some point then, were you asked to come down to verify as well what was in the bucket?
Yes.
And you did that?
I did.
Did you talk to Stephen Hendricks?
I made some conversation with him. I mainly talked to Tara.
Okay. But did Mr. Hendricks tell you that he went down to look at the bucket and you couldn't tell what it was?
Yes, I believe that was partially because he had just woken up and was almost in a state of shock.
Okay. Tara Pakinich was in a state of shock too, is that fair?
Seemed to be that way.
And was it your understanding that Tara woke up for some reason, correct?
She heard the door close, I believe, to the residence.
The side door that you had come into?
Correct.
Okay. And then did she... What made her go downstairs? Do you know?
She was woken by the door, and I believe she wanted to check if there was anybody still inside of the house or if they had entered or left.
Did she find anybody inside the house?
She did not locate anybody that was alive in the house.
And did she tell you that she went downstairs to verify the basement situation?
Correct.
And then that caused her to have the police called?
Correct.
But before the police were called, was it such that Ms. Pakinich went up to tell her significant other, Stephen Hendricks, what she saw?
Since he called for police, I believe that's what happened.
Okay. When you were talking to Tara Pakinich, did she indicate that her son would sometimes come over for meals and do laundry and things like that?
Correct.
When you were in the residence, when you came in the residence, did you have any kind of patrol gloves on at all?
I don't recall.
Okay. When you went down in the basement, did you have gloves on?
I don't recall.
Okay. Is it fair to say when you went down the stairs into the basement, you looked inside the bucket several times?
Yes.
Did you have a flashlight as well?
I always had my flashlight on duty.
Did you use the flashlight?
I most likely did, yeah.
Okay. And then you looked around in the basement, correct?
I glanced around the basement, yes.
You didn't see anybody down there, correct?
Nobody else down there, no.
Then at some point you went back up the stairs, is that fair?
Correct.
The bucket that you saw, what color was it?
Black, I believe.
And where was it located?
Just to the right of the stairs, if you were to walk down.
Like, if you walk down the stairs, would it be, like, around the corner?
To the right. You would be able to see it as soon as you got down at the bottom of the stairs.
Okay. So, as you get off the last step, then you would see the bucket on the right?
Correct.
Did you move the contents of the bucket at all?
No, I did not touch any of the contents.
There was a towel on the bucket, and it was removed by Officer Wanish, correct?
Yes.
Did you look at the towel?
I believe I would also have seen the towel, yes.
Yeah. Where was that sitting? Was it right on the floor next to the bucket? Or?
It might have been. I cannot recall exactly where the towel was at that point.
Backup officers arrived, correct?
Correct.
And then who transported Tara Pakinich, Stephen Hendricks, and Abel Wheelock to the police department?
Additional officers, it was not me, and I don't know which officers exactly took that responsibility.
Was the daughter woken up right away after you got there?
During the protective sweep, officers had awoken her as they were going through the bedrooms.
Where did these people sit or stand when you were there? Tara Pakinich, Steve Hendricks, and Abel Wheelock. Were they sitting at that kitchen table on chairs? Were they standing in the kitchen?
There was points where Tara and Steven might have been standing, but they were in the kitchen when I was with them.
Okay. When you were there, did Tara, Steve, or Ava go down in the basement?
No.
And was it your understanding that Steven and Tara, they slept upstairs in the loft part?
Correct. That's what I believe that it was laid out as.
And then was it your understanding that the ground level, it had like a kitchen and a bedroom, and that's where Ava slept?
Correct.
Then there was this finished basement, correct?
Correct.
In the basement there was a laundry area, is that fair?
Correct.
Storage area?
Correct.
It was kind of messy down there, correct?
It was cluttered, like as a lot of basements are.
Lots of stuff down there?
Correct.
And officers did a protective sweep of the house and found no other threats, correct?
Correct.
And then you waited on the scene and you started a crime scene log, correct?
Correct.
When you start a crime scene log, can you tell me what that involves?
So starting a crime scene log is you put the address and then you start listing all the occupants who have entered and left the crime scene. So like my name would go on it, Sergeant Brester, Officer Wanish, and then we would mark like their reason for being there and then their time in and out.
Okay. And you did that?
I started it, yes.
Okay. Did you also assist Officer Wanish with putting up crime scene tape?
Correct.
Is that kind of like the yellow crime scene tape that we see on TV?
Correct.
Where did you put the crime scene tape?
I believe we just outlined the front yard of the residence, marking, holding it around trees and making sure that everybody could see that they were not supposed to enter the property.
Did it cover the front door of Stony Brook?
It would have encompassed the front door.
And the side door of Stony Brook?
I can't recall exactly if we had brought crime scene tape up to the back point.
Okay, nothing further. Thank you.
Redirect?
No, thank you.
Thank you. You're excused.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our mid-morning break. It's about 5 after 10. We'll take about a 10-minute break and be back at 10:15.
You're listening to True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast continuous coverage of the trial of Taylor Shabusiness, Nightmare in Wisconsin.
Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage.
More raw trial audio next.
Why is it always chaos when we link up?
Because nobody plans anything, bro. Good thing the Rogue's ready like that.
For real. Rain, dirt, whatever. Available all-wheel drive, 5 modes, we still outside.
And they got some kick too. That turbo?
Torque is crazy. The most in its class. It moves.
Rogue doesn't mess around. And peep the space. Merch on merch, gear, mics, all of it fits.
Load up, we out.
2026 Nissan Rogue, built for all of it. Auto Pacific segmentation, 2026 Rogue versus latest in-market competitors in the XSUV mainstream midsize class, excluding electrical vehicles based on manufacturer websites.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.